Welcome to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Venice Solutions. Today, we're talking about what it looks like in those first 90 days when you join a new company as the CFO. And we're super fortunate to have with me today, Tom Siegmiller, my former co-host on the show, who has recently completed his first 90 days at his new company, Texada Software. Tom, it's so great to have you back on the show.
Melissa, it's great to be back as a guest. It feels a little bit like The Shining, like I'm back. So great to be here.
Well, we're super thrilled to start to hear how things are going. And so why don't we start with that? How has it been going the first 90 days? Any big gotchas or major surprises?
No, it's been awesome. I'm going to describe it as drinking from a fire hydrant, not even a fire hose at this point.
Boy.
Extraordinary. It's exhilarating. There's tons of things to tackle and get into, but I've absolutely been having a blast so far.
Well, you know, when I think back, I remember when I had started with Venna just over a year ago in the same position, and same thing. I felt like, okay, there's just so much to absorb. You're listening so much, trying to get the lay of the land, what's going on. And I remember being exhausted at the end of every day as I would put my head on the pillow, just because it is exhilarating and there's so much to do. So I'm really happy to hear it's going so well.
I think if I remember day one for you, it was a board meeting. I remember that day. And you definitely have to be on point those sorts of days. And as you start, you never know what you're thrown into every day. And I think that's what makes it so, so exciting.
Absolutely. So have there been any surprises as you've moved into the CFO seat in your new company?
I think maybe the biggest surprise is that everybody wants you to be a part of everything, which is such a positive thing. That's a great cultural attribute. It's nice to be valued. It's nice to know that you can actually add value. And in doing so, it's a good reminder when people bring you into things, it gives you a good appreciation for the challenges they may be facing. It gives you an appreciation for areas where there's alignment within the organization or lack of alignment. Sometimes you find, gee, priorities might not be totally aligned. And so it gives you an opportunity being brought into everything. And probably the biggest exercise in the early days is prioritization and time management in light of that.
Absolutely. And I feel like when you're in those first 90 days, you have these fresh eyes that you only have once. And so it's such an opportunity to just be looking at things through that lens because you just don't have all the history yet. But it's a lot to take in. And I agree with you, prioritizing where to spend the time is key. So let's talk about your 90-day checklist. What would be some of the things that would be on that checklist of how you were approaching the first 90 days?
Yeah, I wrote a few things down in advance of this, Melissa. So I had five things in particular that I focused on over the first 90 days. And I think these items will be largely universal, but it'll be interesting to get your take afterwards. And so number one was listen. So listen and learn. As we talked about, like drinking from a fire hydrant, you are brand new. You do have that fresh set of eyes. So listen. Number two is focus on building relationships. This is something we've talked about, you and I, lots in the past on this show. This is no different in the CFO role versus any other role that you're taking on within the organization. Number three is build out a long-term vision. It's a reminder there's going to be lots of things that you're going to have to tackle day in, day out, lots of fires to put out, lots of day-to-day activities. It's our job. It's our mandate to build out a vision, not just for the finance organization, but also in conjunction with the rest of the organization. And so it's something that I take very, very seriously. Number four is look for immediate wins for others. We can hit on this a little bit later, but best way to kick off a relationship is to help somebody else. I think once upon a time you asked me the question, what's the best piece of advice I ever received in business? And I think I told you, give before you get. So in the spirit of that, try to find wins for others. And then finally, build out an awesome team. At the end of the day, our team are the folks that we rely upon for everything, and making sure you focus on building out the right team to set you up for long-term success, such a huge element of, for me, my 90-day plan.
So I love that, you know, you've kept it simple at five, which is great because we can remember that. So I want to unpack those five a little bit.
Sure.
So the first one on listening. So how did you approach that? Because that can be broad and there can be lots of different conversations and listening. So how did you prioritize and approach that piece?
Sure. So I started with two groups of folks as my starting point, and it quickly spiderwebbed out from there after that. The first group of team that I focused on was what I often call our first team. And so who are my immediate counterparts sitting at the executive table? And so listening and learning from them, what are they seeing? What are they observing? What challenges are they having? What opportunities do we have? What are their priorities was number one. Number two was focusing on my direct finance team and understanding where they were at. Again, what challenges are they facing? What opportunities? And try to suck as much history, knowledge, and understanding out of those folks as humanly possible. And so probably pretty easy to do so. People want to share what's on their mind. I think if you give them the forum and the opportunity, I think if you shape things as tell me everything as opposed to hold something back, I think people do naturally want to share with you and have you experience and understand what they're going through at that point in time. After I worked through those first two teams, which ultimately, you know, that's a perpetual thing. That's not like just do it for 90 days and then forget about it. I tried to move into other parts of the org. And so anybody that would take time with me, I was happy to listen to. So whether it's the marketing team, whether it's the product team, so you learn more about our products, what our customers are experiencing, sitting with sales reps, understanding what they're experiencing in a sales cycle. Anybody that would have me to their table, I would readily accept the opportunity to listen, learn, and I definitely ask a lot of questions. I sometimes call it a game of 21 questions everywhere I go. I find you start on one topic and it just leads to so many follow-ons. And I've been very, very lucky. People have been generous with their time and their willingness to share with me.
And on that point, did you find any apprehension? Sometimes when a new CFO or any exec is coming into the business, people are excited, but a little apprehensive because you're not quite sure, are they just going to change everything right away? Are they going to, you know, what approach do they take? And so did you encounter any of that?
Not too much, no. People generally assumed positive intent. And I think your interactions shape that. And so the extent to which you show up open-minded, I'm very big on, I try not to cast judgment on the past as an example. And so I believe positive intent in other people. I believe everyone made the best decision and took the best action they could at a point in time based on the information that they had, the levels of investment that they had. And so I really try to seek to understand what the current state is, understand what the histories looked like to shape how did we get to where we're at today, and focus on more where do we want to go collectively into tomorrow and beyond. And so I think through trying to suspend judgment in those conversations, people become less apprehensive when they see how you show up and that you really do want to partner with them and help them.
And that really leads in, I think, to number two on your list, which was building relationships. And so I think you've touched on a few things there about how you went about that. But again, in terms of prioritizing, because relationships aren't built overnight, they certainly take time. And while you're listening and asking questions, there's also that personal side of starting to build up that camaraderie, relationship building. So any thoughts about how you did that? And I think you're working largely remote. You've had some in person, but has that been a factor as well? And what have you done to overcome that if there's been any challenges there?
Sure. So I think building relationships takes intent to do so. And so making sure the right number of one-on-ones and touch bases that are in place for your team, for counterparts within the organization is exceptionally important. Yes, I have been working remote in this role. We're typically a remote/hybrid workforce. Mm-hmm. And so most of my interactions have been remote in nature. Over the first 90 days, I did have 3 in-person outings with the rest of the executive team. And so while an awful lot of that relationship can be done remotely. I'd say like 90, 95% of it. There were some very intentional outings to get together, dedicate some periods of time together. And so, yes, you're going to take your call it like 8 to 5 type meetings with those folks. It's also about spending time with them personally. And so it's those dinners afterwards. I think at one point we were talking about the pre-board meeting dinners in advance and the importance of those informal relationships getting built too. Same thing applies to an executive team, to the team that you're building. If you can get some in-person time, I think it really helps to supplement all of that time that's spent remotely and over Zoom. It allows you to pick up and understand more of people's like nonverbal cues, as an example, when you get to know them in person. And so I think you could do it all remotely. It's just what sort of time frame do you want to operate on? And would you like to accelerate it? And if you would, that intentionality around getting some in-person time, in my experience, has paid off in spades so far.
Yeah. And I love that, being intentional about making the most of that time, right? Because I agree. I think it helps fast track things.
Yeah.
So the third one you talked about was building a long-term vision. And so that one I think can be interesting because you're new. You're trying to get a lay of the land. At the same time, you need to start coming up with a vision for where you're going. And so you're balancing learning enough so that it's an informed enough vision, but also not taking too long before you start to frame it up. So how have you approached that or thought about that balance?
I started with asking, what does the current long-term vision look like of the organization? And so I'll go back to that first point I made around listening and seeking to understand and learn. Don't just assume you have to start from scratch. I think the starting point is understanding, what's the current strategy? What does the current 5-year plan look like within the organization? And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a perspective or have some proposed tweaks or changes to be made. But I started with what exists already and try to understand how that was constructed, how that was built, and worked off of that. From a team perspective, I think it's funny because even though you could be in a different industry, even though you could be in a new organization, there's an awful lot of similarities and plays that you can run organization to organization to organization. And I think there's similar needs within a finance organization. And so while you have to learn about the organization and the industry, team build out can often be fundamentally similar wherever you go. And so establishing that vision of where do we want to be in the first 90 days, 180 days, 365 days? You're probably going to plot the first year in terms of your team build out and vision and try to shape, you know, maybe even beyond that. If you think you have enough clarity in that time frame, if not, it's probably like reforecasting and running a rolling forecast. You gain more information, more knowledge. It better informs future decisions, and that vision for the future evolves. It's not something that you just set and forget forever. You have to constantly reassess and calibrate accordingly.
And you touched on something in that answer too that I just want to unpack a little further. So that how transferable the skills are, because that's something I also found, whether it was moving industries, moving companies. You know, you go in thinking, okay, it's going to be very different. And some things are different when you're talking about finance functions. Some things matter more than others. Let's say there's inventory in one environment and it's not in another. But I've come to realize how transferable the finance skill set is. And actually, one of the things I love about being in the field that we're in is it really can, there's so much you can bring, even if it is a different industry, a different company, while you learn where the subtle differences are so that you can adapt accordingly. Sounds like you've had the same experience.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's so many. There's probably more transferable skills than not, if I'm to be honest. Yeah. And probably 80 to 90% of it is figuring out what your playbook looks like, what your belief system is, trying it out, making those mistakes, course correcting. And once you do, I think an awful lot of it is transferable. And I think that's, you know, maybe having had the opportunity to try things out in the past, make mistakes, course correct for it, allows me to come in quicker and say, like, this is where I'd like to go and why. And it doesn't mean you're certainly not ramming it down anyone else's throat, but you're presenting a vision and trying to get their buy-in, trying to get their collaboration on it and determining, is that the right path forward?
So the fourth one you mentioned was finding wins for others. And I want to understand a bit more about, that sounds really great, but can be hard. So how have you gone about doing that?
I think such an important part of the role in the CFO seat is partnership. We've talked about this many, many times before. You are, as a CFO, a critical partner to the CEO. You're a critical partner to the CRO, the CMO. It doesn't really matter. Finance should be focused on partnerships within the org and driving value. And so, yes, it's hard. There's a million and one things on the go, but there's probably also a million and one areas of low-hanging fruit that if you just take the time to meet with somebody, understand what their needs are, understand what their challenges are, there's probably a multitude of easy wins that you can grab. And when you do that, you build trust with a person. So when you help them first, I think it really, really, truly does help with trust. And we talked about that reservation, maybe about a new CFO coming in and not trusting and maybe holding information back. But if you start by giving other people wins, the next time you bring something forward, even if it's something that is challenging a bit of the status quo, people are more likely to engage because, again, you helped them first and you've shown with, like, you can act in good faith and that you care about them and the success of what they're trying to accomplish within the organization. And so, yes, it's time consuming, but it's also what we're there for in the organization. I try to take a servitude type attitude towards partnering within the org and with others. And that doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter where the role is. It doesn't have to be another C-suite person or executive. Anyone in the organization that you can build that trust with will probably pay off in spades down the road. And so not only is it the right thing to do, but if you look at it from a self-serving perspective, it's going to serve you exceptionally well in the future.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the intelligent platform for complete planning. Vena's award-winning platform makes financial and operational planning more efficient, unlocks performance, and increases financial intelligence across the business, so finance teams and business leaders can plan for anything. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
Not only is it the right thing to do, but if you look at it from a self-serving perspective, it's going to serve you exceptionally well in the future.
Totally agree. And do you have any examples of maybe some of those quick wins, things that, even if they're easier or more obvious ones, but that the audience may not be thinking about in that vein of wins that you can provide?
Of course. Partnering with a sales rep. You know, organization I went to doesn't necessarily have a deal desk. We're in the early stages. This is something that we'll build out as time goes on. But if a rep is having a hard time structuring a deal, go listen to them. Go understand what they're facing with the customer. Go try to solve that problem. And so maybe that's helping with payment terms. Maybe it's helping with what does an annual price increase look like down the road. Figure out what their roadblock and their challenge is and just go help them with it. It's as simple as that. And supporting them, and it probably takes 20 minutes of your time. And the next time you need to talk to that sales rep, the next time you need to seek understanding around the industry or what we're trying to accomplish, that person is going to be happy to share their time with you because you helped them out. And so 20 minutes, you've probably helped with the growth of your organization in closing a deal. That's a big deal. That's like you've built goodwill and you've accomplished one of your company goals in driving growth and in your customer base.
Great examples. So the fifth one you talked about, and a critical one, building out an awesome team. 90 days is a little bit short to do that. And so tell us a bit more about what you mean by that one in the first 90 days.
Yeah. And so building out an awesome team doesn't necessarily happen overnight. Like you don't show up and it's solved in 90 days. But part of that building that awesome team is understanding what your team is facing. What's the status quo today? Where are there gaps? Where are there opportunities? And so when I talk about building out an awesome team, I think, how do you have a plan in terms of where your team should be at day, 180 instead of day 90, at day 365. So I think it's about plotting out that vision around where your team is going to be, how you're going to fill those holes, how you're going to tackle processes that say they were done manually historically. Which projects are you going to put on the table? Which ones are you going to champion and partner with them to work through so that things become less manual, so that they can spare up their time to do other things within the organization? And so I think it's more about establishing that vision around where your team needs to go, wants to go, if you talk to your team, and what will best serve the organization versus having it baked and done within 90 days.
Yeah, and they all really tie together when you think about part of it is that vision for where are we going, and it being informed by the listening with the team, the relationships. They really, I think, you pull those five factors together and they can help benefit one another. So great list. Thank you for sharing. Now, one thing you didn't touch on is, and I'm curious your thoughts on that, is mentorship. And how important has that been as you're thinking about that, the first 90 days and even looking ahead beyond?
I think mentorship is important always. I'm going to just start out by saying that. I maybe didn't mention it in the first 90 days because I think it's something that needs to exist each and every day in our careers, if that makes any sense. And so it's not something new and unique for, hey, first 90 days in a CFO seat, go get a mentor. I think you should be seeking a mentor at all times, and hopefully you already have one in place by the time you hit that CFO seat. If you don't, I'm going to encourage everyone to go find one, find somebody you respect, find somebody with more experience with you than you, find somebody that's willing to share their time and their experiences with you. It can also be around peer groups. And again, these are things that you want to establish at all points in your career. Do you remember Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Do you have somebody that you can phone up for your question, your question that you can't answer that day? You don't have to figure out everything on your own. There can be life hacks, there can be career hacks, and phoning a friend can be one of those hacks to say, like, how do I fast forward quicker on this particular challenge or problem? And the final place I'll point you to is probably your board, whether it's a group of investors or just folks that act as independent board members. That's a plethora of knowledge and experience. And those are people that you can turn to that want to see you be successful and will happily give their time and exert their efforts to make sure you and ultimately the organization is successful. And that's not even to mention you're just executive peers. There's lots of things where they can't help you with subject matter expertise in finance, but they can most certainly share similarities or other types of challenges. Say it's a team build challenge or other types of challenges that you're facing. They're a great source of knowledge and information. And so rely on these other people. Be there for them when the situation is reversed and make sure you're a great partner in that regard. But there's a multitude of locations that you can go to for mentorship and support.
Yeah. And you mentioned the board members. They often have other portfolio company, or your investors may. And so even connecting into their networks, if you need to build that out more. And I agree with you. I think mentorship is important all throughout the career. I think particularly if someone now is moved into a new role, and I think that's a chance where you sort of relook at your mentorship relationships and how do you grow some of the, even the networks that maybe you're part of, to make sure that they expand or include maybe those who you might want to be able to tap into, because we don't want to make every mistake the hard way ourselves. There's so much experience and knowledge out there. Actually, that's why we do this podcast, is to help share the experience that others have had so that listeners can learn from that and maybe not have to learn everything the hard way. So yeah, I think that that's a great one. And another one that I was thinking of, especially in that first 90 days, is setting up your what personally you're going to need to have in place to be successful in that first 90 days. And whether that's knowing that, hey, I'm going to be diving in here, this is going to be quite exhausting mentally, physically, I need to really jump on in. you know, keeping in balance those things that either help keep you grounded, whether it's that working out that you're doing or finding your time, but also setting those expectations, I think, in your personal life. I know for me, you know, when I'm taking on something new, my family knows, hey, this might be a window where mom is going to be a little bit busier. So we're going to help out a bit more at home, or just expect things differently, especially if you're going to be traveling and things need to shift. And so that, I think, you know, my spouse has been super supportive during those transition times as well. And some of that just really does come down to, I think, having those candid conversations and setting those expectations so that there isn't disappointment, even with your friends, maybe, of like, hey, this is what this is going to look like. I'm doing something new here. Here's why I may be a little more out of pocket, or here's what I need from you, so that, you know, because I think it can be so stressful if you feel like you're starting something new and you want to be having your wins and succeeding, but to feel like maybe you're not succeeding in another part of your life, that can actually not be a great situation. So that would be one of my other ones. And I'm guessing that you probably had some similar situation.
Absolutely. That couldn't be more on point. I have a very, very supportive wife. But as I transitioned into the role, we certainly did have that conversation that there's going to be a period of diving in and probably working exceptionally heavy hours compared to what steady state will look like once you're firing on all cylinders, you've got that team built out, the right processes are in place. We did have that conversation before. It has held true. And so had we not had that conversation in advance, you're right, there'd be an element of disappointment that you're not maybe doing your part to the extent that you used to, say, within your family or your friends group or that sort of thing. And so I think that probably goes in the vein of like strong communication and talking about things in advance, setting that expectation in your own head. That's natural. That's normal. Expect it. It's not like you're failing. You're working through something. Change is hard, right? It's not easy. It takes time and effort. You do end up exhausted at the end of the day. I think mentally you end up very, very tired compared to once you've fully got your footing. That's okay and normal. And so I think that's an awesome call out. And so I'm going to ask you, Melissa, you have been a multi-time CFO at this point in time. If you're to reflect back now and say, like, what would your playbook look like for those first 90 days with the benefit of having done it more than once? What do you think?
So great question, Tom. I agree with so much of what you've said. That playbook resonates for sure. I've touched on a couple of the others that were coming to mind, maybe one other. And I'd say this was especially true when I first started off in the CFO seat, is I think I went in thinking I had to have all the answers. And in hindsight, I now realize that I didn't, and that I probably should have leaned harder into that building out relationships and leaning in with other parts of the organization to understand where they were coming from and what they needed, and learn more about their respective areas. But I think that's one of the things, even as a new leader, when you suddenly find yourself in something different and you don't want to disappoint, that we sometimes can almost over-rotate there, thinking that all of a sudden I've got to do all of this perfectly and have all the answers. And I've come to learn we never will. That's why we have peers, why we have teams and others. We're always learning and continuing to evolve.
It's good. It is a humbling experience, isn't it? It's a reminder of how little we do know and how much opportunity there is to learn and grow as people and professionals.
That's what makes it fun.
It is.
Well, Tom, it's always great to be on set with you. So happy that you came back to join me today. So thank you. Now, you have answered our rapid fire questions previously. So for you, I have two different ones. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. So what are you looking forward to most now that you're near passing that 90-day mark?
Ooh, the next 90 days, the next phase of the evolution and progress. And so I'm a big fan of take things step by step. Yes, I'm a planner. You know, happy to lay out that 5-year plan or target operating model. But we have to take things in bite-sized chunks. And so I'm excited about the next leg of our journey, the next leg of our evolution, and taking those next steps over, say, the next 90 days.
Excellent. And you're a planner? I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I know.
Shocking.
Right?
So the next one is, if you had to give a newly minted CFO one piece of critical advice, what would it be?
Hold on for dear life. I would say hold on for dear life. It is going to be mayhem. Thrive in it. Enjoy it. Take those wins. Rome wasn't built in a day. And so, again, back to the first comment, like taking things in bite-sized pieces, take things one step at a time. There's going to be so much to do, but so much rewarding work and such a great feeling of accomplishment that revel in the mayhem. And I think you're going to find it to be exceptionally rewarding. I certainly have at this point in time.
So glad to hear that. Well, thanks again for joining me today. Really appreciate it. If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, please see the links in the show notes. And we would love to hear from you, our audience. Please let us know what you like and what you'd love to hear more about. And don't forget to leave us a review on any of the streaming platforms. Also, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to or watch your podcasts, because you don't want to miss an episode. For the CFO Show, I'm your host, Melissa Howitson. Until next time.